All right, back we are on this Tuesday show, the Dennis Stuckey Show. Till 7 o'clock tonight, Red Wing hockey coming up at 7:10 against the Coyotes this evening here on WPHM. Matt Shook joins us now. This is kind of, I'm trying to turn it into a weekly thing, but for those that don't know, Matt does a podcast about the Pistons. Hey, we carry the Pistons. I should talk about them, right? Even though they're just kind of what they are. They're a 500 basketball team that looks a little streaky at this point. Matt, welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me, Dennis. Appreciate the time.
All right, so there's not a lot going on for the Pistons this week, but they do play tomorrow night in Toronto, and of course, since there really isn't much else to talk about in this matchup, the big focus is going to be, hey, Dwayne Casey's back in Toronto where he won Coach of the Year last year and then got fired.
Yeah, that was a strange one, to be sure. But I guess when you over and over again go and lose to the same guy in the playoffs, you can see where the fans end up getting a little angst. I can remember some teams back when Detroit teams used to win, and I know this was a long time ago, so you're going to have to put your memory back on. But, you know, you get to the playoffs and you kind of level off. I remember the Pistons at the end of the going to work era. It got frustrating year after year that they only would go to the Eastern Conference Finals and then they'd kind of fizzle out. I know it's hard to believe that that's something that we would be irritated about, but
can't
I do
get
remember
by the
those
Heat.
Times. Yeah. The Heat, and then there was Boston, and then it was just like, where is this team going? So they had kind of one of those moments with the Raptors and decided that to kind of move the franchise forward, they put his number one assistant, Nick Nurse, in charge and made the big trade to get Kawhi Leonard this offseason. And they're 12-2 right now until they had the loss last night. They were 12-1 before the Pelicans came into Toronto. So certainly a team that's right on top of the NBA right now. With Dwayne Casey going in, you would expect like a video tribute, probably a nice standing O, a guy who's well-liked in the community, and really probably some sympathy, I would imagine, from Toronto fans who maybe wanted him fired, but liked the guy and probably were sad to see him go in some ways. Maybe like in some ways a Jim Caldwell parallel with the Lions last year as well.
Boy, don't get me started on the Lions. And you know, they were supposed to take a step this year. It wasn't supposed to be backwards, though.
Yeah, well, they made about 2.5 step backwards, I think, maybe 3 steps, depending on how the rest of the year goes. But wow, who would have thought that a 9-7 team with, you know, a consensus guy that everyone thought might be a pretty good head coach, and now you're looking at the draft already next year.
They fixed everything today. They fixed they waived cornerback Lindsey Pipkins, and that fixes everything.
Yeah, he was the problem,
yeah.
I think. So yeah.
Never even heard of him.
They haven't quite replaced him yet, but maybe they'll keep the roster spot open, wait for somebody to come off the street and kind of save that franchise.
Maybe Zach Zenner's got a brother or something.
Right. Zade Zenner going to come in and make it happen. But, yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. I moved back to Detroit here this summer. And I don't know if I was the problem or if I've been the problem or what, but hey, we do have a team up in Ann Arbor, if you're a Michigan fan, that has been playing some football lately.
Yes, they have, and I wouldn't anticipate them having any problems with Indiana. And then the whole thing revolves around one game.
Yeah, that should be an interesting one, to say the least.
And it's not fair either, Matt, because if they lose to Ohio State, everybody's going to forget what Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines actually did this year. They really are.
Yeah, that's kind of the way the Big Ten is set up, especially being a down year. I mean, everyone coming in, everyone thought, you know, Penn State's going to be good, Michigan State's going to be good, Wisconsin's going to be very good, and Ohio State, of course, will be very good. And it turns out that Michigan has held up their end of the bargain, but really none of those other teams have been that formidable. So now it's a situation where even when Jim Harbaugh and Michigan beats those teams, everyone kind of says, well, you know, they weren't that good anyway.
Yeah, but you still have to be. It's not his fault that they're not good, and you still have to win those games, and they've done that.
No, absolutely. I couldn't agree more, and I think that Jim Harbaugh deserves the credit for kind of gritting his teeth this summer when everyone's talking about, you know, one bad season, maybe we could talk about moving on from him. And I don't think that internal feeling, University of Michigan. I think he had plenty of leeway But yeah, I mean, yeah, you got to give him credit for keeping it together and bringing the quarterback in. And this guy, you know, for all the gunslinger things we heard about Shea Patterson coming in the year, he really has taken care of the ball very well, and the defense has definitely done their thing.
Yeah. All right. Getting back to the Pistons, you had mentioned something to me off the air about you know, how do we get the Pistons to the next level? How do we make the Pistons relevant and interesting? Because 6-6, seventh or eighth seed in the East, to most Detroit fans, isn't that interesting and isn't that relevant. So you had mentioned some trade possibilities.
Yeah, and that's what it is, right? You said, I mean, it's like one step forward, one step back, and you're thinking maybe a playoff team and then bounce in the first round, and that's certainly what the national experts and the local experts as well think. So on the podcast on Monday, I brought it up to the listeners, like what kind of things should the Pistons do, and we got some trade possibilities that we talked about on today's show. And I went in on it. I agree with some of the listeners, and the Blake Griffin contract is so big, and one of the other contracts that's out there in the NBA is John Wall's huge contract with the Washington Wizards that kicks in as the quote-unquote supermax next year with 4 years left. We're talking $40+ million a year. It's onerous. I mean, it's an albatross, that's for sure. But the Wizards signed it last year. They're 4-9 this year. They're a team that kind of always has internal drama. It's a team that might be looking to blow things up right now. And my rationale is, if you're all in on Blake Griffin, then you might as well just go ahead and go all in these next couple of years. It might not be pretty third year from now, fourth year from now. John Wall's another guy who's relied on his athleticism early on in his career. He's had knee injuries, and he's not exactly been a productive leader throughout his career in terms of advancing in the playoffs. That sounds a lot like Blake Griffin to me, and it's worked out pretty well for Blake Griffin and Detroit so far. They would certainly be rolling the dice. A good news with possibly trading for Wall is you'd probably shed Reggie Jackson. You'd probably maybe shed like a John Lure, other contracts that you really don't want on your books anyway. So, yeah, you're taking on this huge deal, but you're getting rid of a couple of the other minuses on your cap sheet too. The only problem is that the deal that we came up with on the show might be giving up a first-round pick next year or maybe in the following year after that, which could be a problem for a Pistons fan who is really hoping to roll the dice and strike gold middle of the first round with some of these guys that come out each year.
Yeah, and I just don't see that happening. You know, I'm a little, unless you are a lottery team, I don't mind trading draft picks in the NBA. I really don't. Unless you're getting one of the top 10 guys in the draft, I don't mind moving draft picks.
I agree with you. I mean, some people, every year you can go and find one guy in that 10 to 20 range. You can say, oh, Kawhi Leonard, you know, several years back. But what about those other nine guys that you never really hear about?
Yeah.
They never really do all that much. And I agree with you. I mean, certainly you can find good pieces in that 10 to 20 range, but not like a franchise-changing type of player. And John Wall, like I said, this is the kind of thing that could blow up and could end up really messing up his knee and being a shell of himself in a couple years. But where is this team going right now? And the reason I'm bringing up a lot of this stuff is there's a whole new front office now. Stan Van Gundy is not in charge of this team anymore. So this front office didn't bring in any of these players other than, you know, the bit players they bring in free agency and the second round draft picks from this year. So there's a chance for these guys, and they're all smart guys. They all bring in their own input. They all bring in their own big salaries to contribute to this organization. I'm sure that they've got all sorts of ideas on how to make this team better. And I think that now that we're a few games in, we're seeing what we all figured we'd see, a mediocre team that's really got not much of a chance to go anywhere at this point. I could see this front office taking some big swings and making a pretty big move, maybe even before the first of the year.
All right. I want to talk a little college basketball with you because we've got the rematch of the national championship game going on tomorrow night. And maybe it's not as big a deal as it might be if they were number one and number two this season, but you got number eight and number 18. But Michigan is going to play Villanova, and it's always fun to talk about these kinds of games.
Yeah, I was actually at the Michigan game on Saturday night, covering it for AP with Holy Cross in town. And I got to tell you, this freshman, Ignis Brzdakis, the Canadian kid from Ontario, looks really good. He's a true freshman, like I said, out of Ontario for John Beilein's team in Michigan. A difference maker, a starter, a 6'8 guy who can get to the basket. Not just one of those crafty guys. He just found ways to kind of bully his way through or get around a guy or score in traffic. And he, again, this is against Holy Cross. And so we'll see Villanova as a whole new ball game, especially on the road. But I think he's a guy that Michigan can really depend on and really rely on. So between him and Charles Matthews on the wing there for Michigan, that's two real good players. Obviously, the big question for that team is anybody going to be able to make three-pointers? And so far, the answer has been no, and it's going to be a work in progress. And they're going to have guys like Jordan Poole, guys like Isaiah Livers, and Xavier Simpson's going to have to make some shots at some point. They're going to have to start making some three-pointers, or else they're going to have some low-scoring games that even their very good defense won't be able to overcome.
Yeah, another guy there is Teske. With no Mo Wagner now, it seems to me like Teske might be maybe the most important guy this season.
Yeah, and not only for what he can do offensively, which kind of comes in spurts, but he had five block shots the other night on Saturday against Holy Cross, and really is a guy who controls that defense. And when he's out there, it allows everyone else to kind of be a little bit more aggressive, especially you see the way that Simpson at point guard has given people problems during last year's NCAA tournament and big tournament run as well. That's a team that's so pesky with Teske defensively. I just came up with that one. We can roll with that. Teske's been a guy who has been really good at times for the Wolverines. I get my teams all mixed up here. But, five block shots and certainly a difference maker on defense for them.
All right. Matt, it's always fun talking to you. And I don't, John Wall, it's interesting to me, but then I kind of look at it. You've got to trade Reggie. You've got to trade Lure for sure. And you're still not probably going to be able to make a roster move for 4 years.
Yeah, you're basically stuck if you got Wall and Griffin. That's $70 million of bad knees right there. Yeah, that might be a problem.
You can't even call up D-League guys when you get an injury.
Right. Me and you would be out there, and that would not be pretty.
Yeah, but we'd get on Basketball Reference. How cool would that be?
Yeah, absolutely. Give me a minute, and I'll get a turnover, and we'll be in the book.
There you go. All right. Hey, Matt, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dennis.
All right, there's Matt Shook. And like I say, we like to try to talk to Matt each and every week here on the program when we get the opportunity to do so. Monday, Doc Emmerich in the second hour of the show to talk a little NHL hockey as well. Take a break, and we'll be back with more.